Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 15th, 2010 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. The first matter on our agenda is requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. And I believe this would be the time for people to speak who are here on matters that are not on our printed agenda. So I believe there are two people, Ricky White, if you would come up to the podium.
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you doing, Ricky?
I have something to pass out.
All right.
I'm sorry to spring this on you in the last minute. We talked to a few of you about this, but not everyone. We're a group called Connect Carrboro, and it's just a few folks that are interested in regional transit issues within the town of Carrboro and how to connect it better with the rest of the Triangle. There's a public meeting coming up of Triangle Transit Authority called the Alternatives Analysis Process Meeting on July 7th in Chapel Hill. We'd be interested and have put together a sample resolution that you guys might want to consider referring to the Transportation Advisory Board. We have an agenda slot for the next Transportation Advisory Board on Thursday. We'd like to meet with them and talk about this as well. And then we'd like to try to get fairly quick approval of some kind of resolution that we can send to Triangle Transit Authority that explains that, you know, according to the Carrboro Vision 2020 plan and according to the Carrboro 2035 long-range transit plan, we support the idea of studying light rail Carrboro. And we just want to make sure that that gets heard loud and clear along with the rest of the public's input.
So, Ricky, repeat for me. So when is the Triangle Transit meeting?
It's the first public meeting is July 7th, so that starts the process, and it's at Chapel Hill Town Hall, I believe.
Okay.
Is it? Yeah.
So we have but one business meeting between now and then.
Right.
TAB meets this Thursday, right?
Yes.
And so we can get something back in time.
Unfortunately, we've been kind of working on this, and it, you know, it's a
That's
short
okay.
timeline. So
I'm glad you brought it to our attention at all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Move we refer this to the Transportation
Second.
Advisory Board.
And
Second. And
request a reaction for our meeting.
You could third.
Of
third.
The 22nd. Of
Correct.
June.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously. I take it that by implication that means you'll schedule a time on that agenda, Mr. Manager, for consideration of this resolution and related matters. Okay. All right. Cam Hill.
Yeah.
Ooh, everybody's got handouts tonight.
If y'all will indulge me, I'm going to take a little longer than 3 minutes, but not much. My father owns the building that used to be Cleora Sterling at 616 Highway 54, which is out west of town, just past the park. It's a blue metal building. And up in Furniture Follies is the most recent visible tenant. And I'm just going to take a moment and just sort of go through the history of that building. In 1978, I believe, I built the original 10,000 feet, and it was at that time it was in the Carrboro Planning District, but we opted to be annexed by Carrboro because y'all would pick up our trash, and that was seemed like a good idea. And you know, we got overwhelmed by feeling of civic pride, I guess. And we're the only building out there, or property out there, that is part of the town. Y'all have zoning jurisdiction, but we're the only one that pays city taxes. In 1982, 4 years later, we added 12,000 more feet. In the process of adding that 12,000 feet, we borrowed money from the federal government, and the money that we paid back, the $100,000 that we paid back, went to start the Carrboro loan program. It was the seed money and it was the original money. And so we felt like we were instrumental in starting that I think it's more than something we felt. It's true, we were. And later on in the 80s, when we moved out there originally, we were allowed to build 40,000 square feet, but it dawned on somebody that we were in the watershed, so they restricted the impervious surface, and we were not allowed to grow anymore, so the value of the property decreased by that. But that's an old wound that I won't reopen. I just mentioned it. And then a little while after that, y'all stopped picking up our trash. In 2007, Cleora moved out to a bigger building in Evan, I believe. And so you don't get any sales tax from them anymore. That's when I discovered that if we changed the use of the tenant of the building, we'd have to put in sprinklers. And I was going to put in sprinklers, but it turned out that the pipe across the road that Owassa has doesn't have enough water in it for a sprinkler system. And to put in our own fire pump and all is prohibitively expensive. So Furniture Follies had already moved in anticipation of us putting in the sprinklers, and we never got any rent from them. But over the last 3 years, we paid $18,000 in city taxes and $32,000 in county taxes. I think our income's been less than $15,000. North Carolina law says that a 12,000-square-foot building has to have sprinklers. If we were to subdivide our building into a 10,000-square-foot building and a 12,000-square-foot building, we would qualify for that. We would need a four-hour separation between the two buildings to qualify as two buildings. And I have a disagreement.
A firewall, in other words.
Firewall, a four-hour firewall. And I have a disagreement with Mike Canova about what that entails. He insists that I need a separate footer for that. I can't find anybody else who agrees with that, but he's the building inspector. At any rate, Carver rules say that a 6,000-square-foot building needs sprinklers. And I've been told that the reason for this difference in North Carolina versus Carver law is because of the fraternity house fire in Chapel Hill. Well, there's never been a fraternity house fire in Carver, and there's never been one in a metal building. So that's probably a moot point, but it just, I mean, I don't understand the difference there. But let's just leave all that behind us. I have to find manufacturing tenants. I can't go through a change of use. And
Cam,
so I have.
Does that mean that if it were under the 12,000-square-foot rule, the state rule, that you still could not put in the firewall? Or
I would then research the difference of opinion that Mike and I have to the point that one of us would know the other was right. At this point, we're in a disagreement. But I'm not going to bother to research that to the degree that I'd need to win that fight if it won't do any good anyway. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because of our rule.
Because of your rule, exactly. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I put this behind me, but all this was, well, in a sense, I put as much as anybody puts anything behind them. I learned a long time ago not to fight with building inspectors, but I made a mistake. I picked a fight with Mike Canova, and we resolved it. As long as I do exactly what he wants, it's okay. So I feel comfortable with that. And I had several conversations with the town manager and the building inspector and James Harris about this. And the last words that the town manager said to me was that y'all are here to help me, not to hurt me. So I go in for a building permit and for something that cost approximately $30,000 to do. Here, Lydia. Excuse me.
Which wins, actually?
And I expected the permit to cost $400, and it cost $1,600. Now, I've been buying building permits since I was 22, and that was 35 years ago, and I've only bought one that cost this much, and that was for a $400,000 job. So I was shocked, but I needed to do the work because I had a tenant. I do have a tenant. If you look at page one, is there any way I can use this thing? It doesn't matter. Y'all have the stuff in front of you.
Well, it'll be good to put it up.
Yeah.
We just need to get somebody under 40 up there for a second.
Okay. This is a plan view of the building. And scenario number one is now Carolina Custom Closets. I have a manufacturer, and Carborough has a new business. It's approximately, it's scenario number one on page two. It costs, it's 3,814 square feet. The building permit costs $1,607. The work to erect the walls and do the electrical costs $30,000. So that's, the building permit is 5% of the fee. If you go down to scenario number two, and I'll get briefer. Scenario number two is I have an opportunity to rent to three small people, small manufacturing businesses, and a total of, I'm going to do that job all at once, will be 2,520 square feet. No, excuse me. Scenario number two is if I rent the whole 12,000 feet, all I have to do is build 30 feet of wall, this little bit of wall right here, and do some electrical work, and the building permit will cost almost $5,000. But the work itself will only cost about $8,000. So the permit costs 60% of the job cost. And scenario number three is 2,502 square feet. The permit will cost $1,000, and the work will cost about $25,000. And again, it's 4.3% of the job cost. Y'all's fees are ostensibly based on your cost. They're not to make money. So when you go to scenario number four, which is on page three, it's a 2,000 square foot home. The permit costs $979, and as a percentage of the job, it's 4%. But and if you all, if you look at the cost,
0.4%,
correct. And so, I mean, y'all say you want economic, I mean, you want commercial development, but your fees are really subsidizing residential development. I don't want you to raise your residential fees. I want you to pay attention to what your, the fees that are, you're specifically charging me. I mean, I feel like I'm remodeling a hospital, which is a very intensive thing for an inspector to, for inspections to take care of. All I'm doing is building some partitions. There's no concrete work, there's no roofing work, there's no plumbing work, there's no heating work. There's just a little bit of electrical and a little bit of drywall and framing work. I have a specific solution, and I'm getting to that right now, which is on page four, which is your construction permit fee. I highlighted, oh, good, this is color. A replacement renovation not covered by minimum square footage commercial, $275. That's what this fee, these fees, these permits should cost, and it's that simple. I asked Mike what that line item was, and he said that was for storefronts at Carmel Mall when applying the square footage wouldn't be fair. Well, I feel like I'm in exactly the same boat. And I think what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to instruct the town manager to ask the inspector to use that fee, that line item.
Well, Cam, you've picked a good night to come because we are going to be voting on our fee schedule this evening as part of the budget, so we can consider that very directly.
Well, I'd appreciate that. And I think, I mean, just, we talk a lot about economic development, and I think that most of your economic development, whether you like it or not, is going to come from existing businesses here in town, and supporting them, while it's not as sexy as talking about solar panels or alternative energy or new businesses coming in, helping those of us that are here now will help you maintain what you've got, and that's the easiest place for it to grow. And I don't think that's...
Cam, I have a few questions.
Okay,
if I may.
Go ahead.
Joel, do you want to go before me?
No, I have another idea, though. Okay. But you go ahead first.
Okay, a few questions. Are you, at this time, not concerned about the 6,000 versus 12,000 firewall thing? It seems like on your current scenarios, you've kind of
I've moved past
that
because okay. I don't want to build two firewalls. And okay. And if I can find a tenant, and I'm hopeful that I'll have some tenants. I mean, I'm talking, I mean, that's what the economy is right now is talking. So I'm talking to a lot of people.
Okay. So my other question is, when did Furniture Follies move out? It's about a year and a half ago?
Yeah, something like that.
And how many prospective tenants have you had since then who, for one reason or another, you couldn't make the code
work? Well, I had a couple of people who wanted to open nightclubs. I had a guy wanted a gymnastics thing. I had a guy who wanted to do a used storage thing. All of these people were non-manufacturing tenants.
Uh-huh. And so in any of those cases, you would have needed the fire.
I would have had to do, yes, exactly. Yeah. I had to tell them I couldn't accommodate them. My most recent guy I couldn't accommodate wanted to have a sweepstakes place, although there was a language barrier and I didn't understand that's what he wanted. But anyway, we've all been spared that.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah. Might not be.
Joel, did you have a question?
No, I don't have one for him. I think we need to discuss it.
Yeah. Well, shall we take it up when we discuss the budget? Or
well,
do you want
to? Here's my issue. I don't like to make changes when staff hasn't had an opportunity to respond.
Right.
We have to pass the budget by June 30th. Today is June the 15th. And I was going to ask a point of clarification from either the town manager or the town attorney whether or not that portion of the fees we could address either on the 22nd or the 29th. Because I, and not to say that we're not sympathetic to your position, but I don't like to make, and the board knows this, I don't like the board to make policy piecemeal without having more information in front of me. And today I could not make
that
decision.
I emailed this information to y'all almost exactly like this on the 23rd of April.
Right.
So I just want that.
Right.
I hear you.
I understand.
I think your point is a good one, Joel. would the staff like to respond to the question of whether this really has any relationship to the budget or not?
Well, if you're just talking about this one specific fee, then I think it would be a relatively minor aspect, and I would suggest if the board wants us to take a further look at this particular fee, I'd ask that you go ahead and consider adoption of the budget and the other part of the fee schedule, and if you want to delay this piece until next week. We don't meet on the 29th unless you all decide
to
have a special meeting.
Well, the 22nd,
I would hate for you all to delay the whole budget. We've got all the department heads here tonight.
I have a question for Cam, Ben. Could you come back up? Are any of your prospective tenants, like, particularly time-sensitive?
No, all of them claim to want to be in by August 1st.
Okay.
You know, this doesn't help my argument, but, I mean, I'm going to have to go ahead one way or the other. I'm not going to pay a $4,000 permit fee for 12,000 feet. I mean, I'll do lots of things before I do that. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying, but I don't know how many building permits any of y'all have bought. I know James has bought some, and I think he'd bear me out. I mean, this is just way, way outside the realm of what we're used to.
Yeah, I guess, I'm fine with keeping that off till next week, but, you know, I've been in some communication with Cam over the last year and a half, now and again. I don't know if any of the rest of you have, but, you know, as Cam said, he's met many times with staff. He's made numerous efforts to find a way to make this building work. This is a unique building in Carrboro in terms of the kinds of things that can go in there. And it's our top priority to have economic development, commercial development. Here it is standing right in front of us. And the fact is that I think through no particular fault of their own, because staff is constrained by their understanding of the regulations, staff's not been able to help him, and Cam continues to go the extra mile to be able to find tenants who can work in this space and find what now appears a very creative solution on how to make that space work in different pieces without the kind of problems he's run into in the past. So the fact of the matter is that we're the body of last resort. And, you know, I'm fine, you know, hearing whatever we're going to hear from staff next week. but I expect that I'm going to make a motion that we make this change so that this property can become a successful part of our economic infrastructure. And I just think that's very, very important for the town. And I'm not averse to making a decision in this kind of way when it's something that important. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out.
I agree with you. And I understand that position. I'm just saying that a week is not going to make that much difference. And
right.
I think that the entire board, well, at least for me, my position is asking for a week does not necessarily mean that I'm against economic development. I think people have known very clearly where I've stood on economic development for the town and the county for the last 17 years since I've lived here.
All right. So I think by acclamation, we'll just take that subject up at our next meeting. Mr. Manager, if you could provide some staff reaction to
I would also like to know why the fee that was charged instead of the replacement renovation not covered by minimum square footage that is used for Carmel Mall wasn't used instead. I kind of hate to see us being penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to the economic development. Anyway, I'd just like some clarification on that.
I'd also like to know if there are any other commercial properties that happen to fall into any of these unique situations that we need to be alerted to. Or is this, I mean, I understand that this particular property is in a really
odd place.
It's an odd place. It's got an odd set of circumstances, but I would want to.
Somebody else may be aware, but in almost 7 years I've been here, this is the first complaint I've ever heard about our building permit fees for commercial property.
Yeah. So that's a good thing, and that means that gives us some leeway to change it and help people who have been helping Carver for a long time be able to stay here.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the staff's reaction on June 22nd.
Thanks, Cam.
All right. We do have apologize for the protracted beginning that this meeting is off to, but I do have one proclamation to read real quickly. Whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part of communities throughout this country, including Carrboro, North Carolina, and whereas our parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of a community and region. And whereas parks and recreation programs increase a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of the local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, prevent flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, and produce habitat for wildlife. And whereas the United States House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month. And whereas the town of Carrboro recognizes the benefits derived from parks and recreation resources, now therefore be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim the month of July 2010 as Parks and Recreation Month and encourage all citizens to celebrate. And Indy, you want to come up for just a second? I'll just present this to the mayor, our director of recreation and parks for the town of Carrboro. All right. Thank you and your staff.
Thank you.
Okay. And now we are on to our consent agenda. Mr. Manager.
Item one is approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of May 25th and June 1st. Item two is a request to approve designation of fund balance for 2009-2010 budget items not yet spent or encumbered. Item three is a request to approve equipment vehicle financing. If I could call your attention to a substitute resolution you have at your place, there was a typo where the wrong bank was referenced in one of the paragraphs, so that's the only change.
All right.
Item four is an amendment to the Century Center use guidelines to include an anti-discrimination clause. Item five is a request to adopt a resolution continuing the public hearing on a revised design for Smith Level Road improvements. Item six is a request to authorize the town manager to approve a contract for the Wilson Park multi-use path. Item seven is a request to adopt a resolution declining the offer to purchase Owassa property. Item eight is the town code amendment related to parking along Renee Lynn Court, and we staff had a request today from a resident in the area asking if the board would consider delaying this. They couldn't be here tonight, and there's a concern about one section where there might be an interest in continuing to have some on-street parking. So we'd like to suggest to delay that until after the break and give an opportunity to see if we can find a suitable compromise.
Okay.
Move items 1 through 7.
Second.
All right. 1 through 7 have been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed are passed unanimously. Mr. Manager, you bring 8 back to us sometime in September?
Yes.
All right. Okay. That puts us on agenda item D1, adoption of the fiscal year 2010-11 budget. Mr. Manager.
As you already know, by state law, you have to approve the budget actually before July 1 of every year, and this item is to complete any budget discussions the board wishes to have and to consider adoption of the budget ordinance. And again, let me point out one typo in attachment B1, which is the resolution adopting the classification and pay plan. In section 3, it says effective on the pay period beginning July 1st. That pay period actually begins on July the 8th.
All right.
That's in attachment B, is that correct?
Yes, it's B1, section 3.
Okay. Move the budget ordinance.
Second.
All right. Budget ordinance has been moved and seconded. I think we've already handed out all the compliments twice on the job that you and your staff have done, Mr. Manager, in bringing us this budget. But I'll say one more time that we know these are tough times for the people of the town of Carrboro and for Carrboro Town Government, and it is I think reflects extremely well on our community and our town government and on you and your staff that we're on the verge here of approving a budget that's going to have no tax increase for next year. So I want to say thank you for doing that for us.
Thanks, Steve.
Great job.
Thanks, Steve.
Great job.
All right. With that, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously.
Move the pay plan resolution specifying July 8th rather than July 1st.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Move the special benefits resolution.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those, is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Skipping over the fees and charges schedule till next week, move the reimbursement resolution for capital purchases.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Move the resolution approving compensation for town attorney.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Is that it? You run out?
That's it.
Okay. That puts us on item D2, the Valentine AIS minor modification application.
MI Homes, developer of the 96-unit dwelling unit subdivision located at 8110 Old NC86, has submitted an application for a minor modification to the conditional use permit issued for the development on August 28, 2007. Town staff requests the board review, deliberate, and make a decision on the application. And Jeff Cleveland is here to provide an overview on the minor modification request. Jeff?
Thank you, Steve. Very simply, to remind you where the location of the property is, this is where the Legends development currently is being built, and then Old 86, and then north is where Ballantyne is proposed, and then north of that is the proposed park property. The existing phasing plan, and this is difficult to read, sorry, but it should be clear in your attachment, shows a two-phase plan divided along the drainage, phase A and phase B, both residential, a cluster of townhomes here, single-family residential here, single-family residential here. The proposed minor modification does nothing to change the layout of this plan, but only is to change the phasing. And there are various reasons behind that. One of the reasons is to open up the possibility for a rezoning request for phases 3 and 4, which will also enable the developer to get started on phases 1 and 2 and get some cash flow going. And at this time, they have construction plans nearly 100% complete, and they are hoping that this minor modification gets approved so their construction plans can similarly be approved. This is a resolution. Several of the permit conditions need slight revisions to accommodate the phase language. There isn't anything particularly surprising here, mainly just to replace phase 2 with phase 3 in this instance, in condition number 5, and so forth. Now, one condition, number 16, will be removed because as part of this plan, originally, when it was a two-phase project, this road here would have been part of the first phase. As it stands now, it's phase 1 and phase 2, with this road, which is a public subcollector, to be constructed in phase 3. So if this minor modification is approved, you will have a build-out of this public street, basically to this limit, and emergency access along the existing gravel drive. But in order to get the construction of the public road, that would be delayed till phase 3. Now, this condition that's struck, it relates to stormwater facilities that are dependent upon the constructed road, and since it isn't being built, it's no longer needed.
But even though it says phase 4 there, the road would be built with phase 3?
Well, phase 3 is, it kind of tucks in here in this little skinny part here. Phase 4 is just to the south of the road.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a kind of hard to see there.
So the road is part of phase 3?
Phase 3. That's correct.
And that condition carries over for phase 3?
Yes. Yeah. It would be part of phase 3 construction plans. Let's see. Any other aspects of these permit changes? The 17 and 18 are related to the stormwater study, and these have to be tied to some phase, and in this case, the instead of being tied to phase 2, they'd be tied to phase 3. Number 24 is sort of a, really, probably doesn't necessarily need to be there, but right now they're at a recreation points deficit, phases 1 and 2 of the new phasing plan. And this is mainly stating that when phase 3 comes around, they will be in a position where they can, you know, satisfy the recreation requirements, but they just don't know what's going to be in phase 3, so there's, you know, might as well wait on this one.
Jeff, can you speak to, can you speak to this letter from the town, from the county attorney, kind of talking about the road leading over to the Greenway, Twin Creeks Greenway?
Sure. Well, as part of the original conditions, the conditional use permit, what was required prior to one of the approvals was, you know, we're sharing your property, Orange County. We need some kind of, the applicant needs some kind of official letter that, you know, we can co-build, co-locate a road. And So this is something that the applicant has received. This is what this letter represents. And in their discussions with Orange County, it seems as if Orange County is ready to go ahead and work toward an offer of dedication of their property to go ahead and, you know, make this a non-issue. But they share in this northern property line, this road is co-located, you know, okay. Orange County and my homes.
This is the road that's along the top? The one that's going to be part of phase three?
That's correct. Yeah, so a condition of the permit was naturally before anything could get too far along, we needed Orange County's approval and permission. And so that's what this letter represents.
If phase three never got built, what would happen to the recreation point deficit?
Well, the original permit and the original condition requires a fee in lieu. Okay, if phase three never got built, boy. Marty, do you have a sense on how to answer that question? I think I got this. If phase three was never built, the recreation points would not be created to create that deficit because they're based on the number of units that are built. So if they didn't add any extra units, then they would be in compliance with the rec points.
So phase one and two, in and of themselves, provide sufficient recreation to meet recreation point requirements for those phases.
Yes, okay. That's right. And they also stand alone with regard to open space. They meet their recreation and open space requirements, you know, as they are standalone.
Jeff, if phase three never got built, would the public road go forward by the county, or you know, how would there be access from that way from the neighborhood back to Twin Creeks Park, back to the greenway that's being built back there?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. I think for phase three, for one, you'd have a couple issues going on. One, you'd have the fact that this right now is under a conditional use permit. Okay, so phases one and two, as the plan stands, is a whole piece. They did not construct phase three. I believe they'd have to come in for a modification of the permit and get approval by the board. Is that correct, Marty?
Well, we've reviewed it such that phase one and two can stand alone and be a quote-unquote complete project. I think, if I'm understanding your question correctly, phase three would effectively sit there with no road except for the existing gravel road and the existing emergency access that will be put in place now to serve phase one and two. So I don't think there would necessarily be anything in the conditional use permit that would compel them to build phase three or even the road alone. And it would more or less sit there until the county brings forth an application for the park. Presumably that'll happen at some point, and they'll have to have a formal access to the park. That's not to say it would definitely be that same exact road, but the county certainly stands to benefit from it being that road by sharing costs with this developer.
So who maintains the road until the county decides to file the application for the park? Will it be the Homeowners Association of Phase 1 and 2? Or will it be us? Or will it be the county?
Well, it would typically be the developer or the HOA if the developer is out of the picture, as you're suggesting, I think. Until or unless the road is actually dedicated to the town, and if it, you know, becomes a dedicated right-of-way and Public Works accepts the road as a town road, then we would just do that per our normal procedure anyway. It would just be at a different stage than normal, if you will.
So would it be at the stage when it was actually built to town standards, curb and gutter, or we're talking the gravel stage?
No, it would have to be built to town standards before we would accept it.
Okay.
Marty, is the plan that that road will eventually be a town road as opposed to the county road for Manessa, not the Twin Creeks?
Yes, it's intended to be a town road.
Marty, it's hard for me to, I'm having trouble kind of seeing it in context of exactly where the park is, where the greenway is, kind of to the north of it and to the east of it. Can you?
Does that help?
Well, the greenway run approximately here and is under construction going towards the school. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, isn't the greenway at the very eastern edge of that lot?
Yes.
Right.
How do you get back to where you are, Jeff? Use the arrows here. Yes, over at the eastern, there's the mouse. Not cooperating.
There it is.
Oh, is it working now?
Yeah.
At the eastern edge, heading up towards the schools. And then, I'm sorry, you asked about the greenway and something else.
Right. What I want to know is exactly, if you can be exact, where exactly is the greenway coming down through there?
Is Jeff here? Or Trish, can you help?
Off
I don't want to tell you the wrong thing.
No, I really need help.
So you're going to let Trish do that?
Right.
So is the question about where the greenway is on the Ballantyne property?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the expectation is that there will be a when the Ballantyne plans were originally looked at, the greenway plan that we had in place, the master plan, showed a greenway going along this portion of Buckhorn Branch, I guess. And not along this stem of the creek, Jones Creek. And as we've gone forward with the conceptual, so in the conceptual planning process for Bowling Creek was focused on the segment behind the townhouses at Lake Hogan Farms connecting down to Bowling Creek, the main stem of Bowling Creek, mm-hmm. and then it picked up down at Homestead Road and went down to Estes Drive. So it didn't, because of the scope of the project as we had defined it with the SDPDA funds, et cetera, it didn't focus on this piece right here. When the county went forward with this economic stimulus funds,
right.
And we had been in discussions with the county for some time about where the greenway should be located on the park property and how it should be incorporated into the plans for the park, et cetera. You know, the decision had pretty much by then been made that that the location for a greenway would be near the sewer line. Near the school. Creek itself and connecting up to the elementary school. So as part of that conversation, what we are expecting to see, and you all may remember at the end of the Ballantyne approval process, the applicant, the owners agreed to offer the town a dedication of all of this area to the east of the roadway. Backing up for just one more moment, this is a collector street. Lake Hogan Farms Road, and so there are bike lanes and sidewalks along that, and so the connectivity, sort of bike and ped connectivity that we were looking at back in 2006 and so forth, association, you know, on this topic, really saw that collector street providing that bike and ped function. But as we've moved forward now, we have a greenway under construction up here. We have a conceptual plan for greenway back behind Jones Creek. We'll be looking more at, I think, as we move forward, you know, greenway construction near the sewer line that has now been installed along the creek itself. I'm sorry, that was a long answer.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. I that was my memory or my thinking in knowing that the county was building the greenway kind of right north of it. So, I mean, just in looking at this, you know, Dan's raising these good questions. You know, currently it's phase one, phase two, but if phase three never happens or phase four, it leaves, you know, us to think about, since the total development as we envisioned it may not come to pass, you know, how do all these folks over here, you know, get over there to the greenway, to the school, to the park?
Well, I think Marty was sort of suggesting that, I think the eventuality is that, I mean, if something were to happen, if a variety of things could happen, this phase three isn't built as it's approved currently in the CUP. More along the lines of what you all perhaps requested the applicant look at back a year ago when they came forward for a continuation of their permit. I think that, either it will be built as part of, there'll be greenway access built as part of a development, or we would then put it into, I mean, so I do think the property will be developed at some point, I guess is my is my point. But secondarily, if that didn't happen in some time frame that was possible in terms of our, you know, our economic health, the availability of other funds, you know, I suspect we would look for funds to try and make those connections. But there will be, I mean, this project does involve the, the legends at Lake Hogan Farm involves the construction of a greenway along this piece of the trail, I mean, of the creek. And this project will provide a greenway connection out to this portion of the park as well, connecting, you know, in that location.
Right. So, Trish, I think what Libby is perhaps getting at is, can we attach those greenway segments to phases one or two rather than leaving them in phase three so that we can ensure that they get constructed in, you know, as the projects build in the known future?
I think we would have to just discuss how to do that logistically before I said, I think that is a possibility. It's not one that we've discussed how that would actually be, with how the lines would be, if the lines would be drawn differently or if there would be some other sort of cross agreement connection over the phases or something like that.
Yeah, it does.
So we haven't discussed that as a possibility.
Okay. I think I'd like to explore that
more. What are the recreation features that they're relying on now for phases one and two under that proposal?
Thank you. Well, they're using a play field, and I believe there's a tot lot, too.
Give me 5 cents.
Okay.
We got $1 million. I need one question.
Okay.
Do the affordable housing component numbers remain the same?
Yes, I believe the affordable housing is unchanged.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're all in phase one, am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure.
I think they're in one. Yeah, are there any in two?
They're in phase one.
Just one.
Only in one.
Okay. Jeff, could you speak to the expected rezoning application to address the commercial possibility?
That would definitely be Trisha's territory.
And the applicants are here, too, this evening, representatives of them. Jeremy Medlin from MI Homes and Jeremy Finch from, John R. McHenry. I was going to name the other firm, sorry. Jeremy, the board requested these folks look at some possibilities that would have some some commercial and some more higher density residential on this property. And so that's what they're looking at and hoping to bring forward a rezoning proposal for you late in the summer, early in the fall. That would involve a small commercial component and higher density residential on the remainder of the site that is not part of phases one and two.
Are either of you able to add to that this evening?
I can.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
I'm Jeremy Medlin. I'm with MI Homes of Raleigh. We did meet with you folks about a year ago, and you made it very clear to me that you requested that we add more density. And we took that to heart, we embraced it, and that's why we're here tonight. We would like to go ahead and do phase one and phase two. Phase four would have a commercial component. You guys made some suggestions. We're not operating under the illusion that it's going to be a strip mall or anything like that. It'll be a relatively small commercial component with a couple of apartments up above it. And then the phase three section over there was originally 18 large lots. You said you wanted more density, and we gave it more thought with what the county was doing up above us. It did. It really made sense. The more we thought about it, the more we played with the layout and manipulated the layout, the townhomes made more sense, and that's what we're proposing to do in the future. And that's why we're here, is basically what you would do if you approve this, you would allow us to go ahead and get started with phase one and phase two while we're going through the rezoning of phase three and four, which you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, the staff can. We've already sent in a draft application. I mean, we're deep into it right now, and our intent is to come back in front of you guys, you know, and at the end of the summer or early fall and hopefully get your support on rezoning this piece.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking that seriously and following up on that. That's, okay. You know, really excellent. Excellent. Look forward to seeing what you're doing.
It'll be a nice product. We want to be part of your community also. I mean, we've owned the property for probably 6 to 7 years, and I've been involved with it for 3, and we want to be here. We want to be part of Carrboro, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. Thank you so much for reworking this plan. And I imagine then you understand my question about where this greenway is and just
right. I understand your concerns. And what we had proposed along that Phase 3 roadway was the bike lanes and the that roadway section right there has got sidewalks proposed on both sides and bike lanes. And I believe this layout in here will change some, and this road may shift slightly. And I understand that a lot of folks are cutting through here, and what I'd like to propose is that, you know, we've already committed to give you guys the easements. We could supply you with any kind of surveying or engineering services to assist you to make that link in the interim until we can come along and create this permanent bike lane and sidewalk area through here, if that helps.
Okay. I do have one person signed up to speak on this item. If
Jeff has anything, that's the applicant.
Why don't we hear from the one speaker and the applicant and come back up after that? If there's more. Jay Bryan. Distinguished former Alderman Jay Bryan.
Thank you very much. My name is Jay Bryan. I live at 8033 Old NCA 6, that in fact is directly across from this property. I wanted to first address a request to you all to delay action on this matter and refer it to the Northern Transitionary Advisory Committee for its review. I understand that, and certainly Jeff, as our long-suffering liaison, has indicated to us yesterday that the staff had not referred it to us because it was considered a minor modification. I just say that we spent an awful lot of time in 2007, and I have a copy of our recommendations about this plan, extensive recommendations. We took a lot of time with it, and it's certainly something that's very important and dear to our how we see the area, particularly in terms of the park and so on. So to call this we just respectfully disagree that it's a minor modification. Under 15-64, minor design modification are those that have no substantial impact on neighboring properties, the general public, or those intended to occupy or use the proposed development. I've had a very short time to review this, is that the change from phases A and B, which covered the whole development as approved with all the input from everybody, fully designed out, to 4 phases, 2 of which are not at all developed, apparently, it seems to be a radical change to this plan, to the one that originally got all the input. Now, my understanding is that under 15-61 of the land use ordinance, that phases are the things that overlay. They are the pattern or how the development will be built. But underlying those phases are what is being built. And so this is saying, well, hey, we're just going to leave open these two phases and not show you what we're going to build, not have any input into that at this point. But you all approve it as though whatever may be put forward is going to be, you know, attentively be approved. I don't think that's appropriate, but I'm just saying that's the kind of complexity that our committee needs to take a look at, at least just to give you our advice on it. And so I'm kind of getting deeper into the merits of it, I suppose. So that's just in a nutshell why we feel that just because somebody says they're going to rezone, it doesn't mean that you're going to rezone or that you're going to do exactly as they have asked. And those things are in flux. We would like to take a look at it. So we're asking you to delay it to August to allow us to do that, given the break, the summer break, and people's vacations and so on.
Jay, you understand that a rezoning, if one came forward, would perforce go to you all?
Right, I do.
That. So there's not a change in terms of the plan itself that you wouldn't get to review?
That's true.
Okay, just want to make sure that was clear.
So on to another aspect of the development that is concerning. We spent a lot of time around the issue of the entrance. I don't know how to use this, but just the...
Let's use the mouse.
The mouse.
Yep.
In the way of my books. And basically, MI Homes agreed that they would, before the public hearing, that they would work with us and NCDOT on the exact location of the intersection of this street along Old 86 and support a reduced speed limit for Old 86 as we had recommended. That speed limit was 35, and it's my belief that that speed limit has been changed. In addition, under the permit conditions, number 28, that prior to construction drawing approval, town staff and the consulting engineer meets with NCDOT district engineers to pursue the reduction speed. If they reduce the speed limit, the intersection could be moved to the original access easement location, subject to NCDOT approval. And that's what we said. You shouldn't have an entrance off Old 86. You should use Eubanks, Lake Hogan, and a third entrance. I don't remember where it was exactly. But the board approved this as an access point. Well, this has not ever been resolved. Not been resolved. I've got some emails back and forth with Chuck Edwards about that. There was a meeting out there. There might have been supposed to have been some sort of study or something. But nothing has been done, and I'm very concerned that they're going to begin construction of this with the idea that somehow this is the location of that driveway when it's not been finalized. And, in fact, we have gotten NCDOT to approve this reduction speed limit. Why is the reduction speed limit important for the two of you who have it worn on the board at the time, I think? And that is that by reducing that, the site distances, particularly to the north, would be not as the same number of feet as at a 50 mile an hour speed limit or 45. And so the site distance problems that DOT may have had going to the north because of the location using the county road, I think certainly have been, in my mind, have been addressed and would allow them to allow that road to go access entrance to on the road as it now exists into that property, and that's the county road. So I don't know that that gets into this matter, but I'm hearing that there are construction drawings being approved. I don't read that that's appropriate until that issue has been resolved. And I certainly, our committee would like to be involved in any further discussions around that with other board members or staff members to do that and move ahead. We definitely need, we would like to see that driveway moved to where the current property, Orange County road is located. Let me see if there was any other issue that I should address at this time. I think that's all, unless you had any questions.
Jay, so with the road issues you're raising, do you feel like if we were to approve this tonight, mm-hmm. would set that discussion, so preempt the discussion?
I just want to make sure they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so that you're not approving that road as part of phase four, because this has not been resolved.
We have no phase four.
Excuse me? Right.
We have no phase
we
four.
We have no phase four.
Agreed right. upon plan.
Yeah. And if I understand it correctly, well, no, I understand it correctly. I don't have anything else to say.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Okay.
Jay?
I told the applicant that they could address this issue, could kind of come back and comment on this. So let me recognize them for just a minute,
That's
and then we'll go to Jackie and then Dan.
I'd just like to say that the intent of phase one and phase two is not changed from what you have previously approved. I mean, we're still meeting the same intent, and I know that when we come forward with phase three, that we're going to have to do another CUP. You guys will be able to review plans, and we'll have your involvement. As for the condition number 28 that Jay implied that we did not meet, we did meet it. I did meet with Jay. I met with DOT. We do have correspondence that condition was met. And I'll answer any questions you have, but I just wanted to add that. I mean, we've acted in good faith and done what was required.
Because the condition required you to look into it, basically.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? You've looked
and
into
it. And we did.
Okay. Well, probably good to stay right there for the moment.
Okay.
Jackie, and then.
I was just going to say, you haven't changed anything in phase one and two, is that correct?
Correct. The meat of the project is still the same per the original CUP that you approved.
Right.
So what we're looking at there is what would happen in phase one and two, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the reason you want the delay and to make two more phases is so that you can explore ways of honoring our request and our suggestion that some mixed use would be appropriate here. Is that correct?
We're not exploring. We're actively pursuing.
Right, so that you can pursue ways of...
A draft application is in, and like I said, phase three, we intend to create townhomes there, and then phase four would be a commercial component that would hopefully fit in.
But we're not doing a public hearing on that right now. I'm just trying to clarify
We'll get to that.
what's going on here. So
that'll be in the fall.
One and two, how it looks there is what will happen, including the roads, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Dan.
Yeah, I think I'm interested in seeing if we can have this come back next week, and because I would like a condition that speaks to the development of the Greenway with some assurances like that. And if I understood your comments, sound like you're amenable to working with us in that regard. And if we do that, then we could also get a staff comment on Jay's point about the road, so we can all be clear on that.
Okay. Mark, don't care because he won't be here.
Yeah, I won't be here. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah, whatever you want to do on the 22nd. I don't care. Vote it up.
So is that a motion?
Hasn't been an agenda item yet that we haven't put off on the 22nd.
is that a motion?
Well, we should check in with staff.
What's the staff's reaction?
I mean,
we do already have some matters on the agenda, but
I don't expect that has to be a big discussion.
I mean, there are several public hearings, because it's typically a public hearing night, but we also recognize that it's the last meeting before break, so it's not unusual to sort of have that meeting as kind of a catch-all before
squeeze some things in.
Or we could start at 7 instead of 7.
Well, let me ask this question. You know, it seems to me that Jay is, well, we'll get some reaction from the staff, I guess, next week. But it does seem to me that the issue Jay is really getting to is going to be quite central to phases 3/4 of this development. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have an opportunity to review that. So are there other issues about this development that we need to discuss that, for example, we could wrap up tonight? Or is the language related to the Greenway really the only outstanding issue, other than the future review of issues related to phases 3 and 4? Because if it is, then I'll take that as a motion that we put it on our agenda for June 22nd.
And I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Okay. And I believe that puts us on item
D3.
Friends of Bowling Creek Conservation and Restoration Initiative. The purpose of this item is for the Friends of Bowling Creek to update the Board of Aldermen on its conservation and restoration initiative. I'm not sure who's doing it. Okay.
I just wanted to point out a typo on the resolution. The title should have said a resolution for receiving an update from the Friends of Bowling Creek.
Good evening, Board. Thank you for the opportunity to talk here tonight. My name is Tom Kors. I'm a resident of Carrboro, a former chairman of the EAB, and I would like to talk to you a little bit tonight about the Friends of Bowling Creek and where we've been and where we're headed. We have seen Bowling Creek active since 2002. Primarily, a great asset that we offer to the town is that we're a 501c3, and we're working in partnership with the town. We have enjoyed the countless efforts of Trish and Randy and greatly appreciate it, and I saw the staff recommendations tonight, and pledge and assure you that we will have no further additional items for them to do. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of what our mission is and this conservation and restoration initiative that we're undertaking right now. So first off, we are dedicated to preserving Bowling Creek, the Bowling Creek corridor, by working with UNC, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and Orange County. And the mission, as stated in our articles of incorporation, is to establish a perpetual nature park and preserve the Bowling Creek watershed. And we envision multiple uses with our preservation goals, including hiking, biking, birding, and nature study. This past year, we've seen a lot of attention with the paving controversy, and what I wanted to tell you right off the bat is that this conservation and restoration initiative is on a separate track from that. We're trying to harness some of the energy with that debate and put it to some positive use to really work to restore this resource that is enjoyed by about 400 walkers and runners and about 200 bikers, I think it's per month. Are some of the estimates that we all enjoy. The issue that's still at hand outside of all things going on with that corridor is it's this common area that's owned by multiple people and it's still used by a lot of different people, but the creek underlying it is still impaired. So where we've been in terms of protecting that resource, protection of land is one of the best ways to actually protect water. The EPA has estimated that's about 400 times more cost-effective to actually protect the land than it is to treat the water further downstream. And you all are well aware of where things are with Jordan Lake rules coming up. Right now, UNC is working out conservation plans for the area west of Sewell School Road with Army Corps of Engineers, and that's uncertain as to what that entails for their property there. You all generously led earlier in the last, 6 years or so, for the acquisition of the Adams Tract that we all enjoy adjacent to Wilson Park, and we thank you for that. And finally, where we are right now, and this is where we see the main part of our focus and a lot of our initiative is working, supporting the town, specifically Randy and Trish, on the implementation of a 319 grant from EPA. I'm going to quickly go through kind of what we're envisioning for this conservation and restoration initiative. Again, we're not trying to come up with overburdening an already overworked staff. We really want to support the great work that Randy's done. In regard to that, we are happy to announce that we're going to be supporting with financial support from the Friends of Bowling Creek, $5,000 to support a rain garden for education purposes at McDougal, and we're looking at the McDougal schools. And we're also looking at possible other citizen science monitoring initiatives on the creek with other elementary schools in the area. So what's going on with the creek and why it's impaired is that you all have heard before. The town's watershed restoration team that's in conjunction with Chapel Hill, its goal is to improve the biological health of the stream. Some of the main issues that we're facing with the stream are sedimentation, with increased development, and also with sedimentation coming in off of, in some regards, improper trails. Also, so in that regard, what we're trying to do is reduce some of the sedimentation. What we've seen with some of the trails, that they were not planned back there, and they go down perpendicular to the slope, which actually leads to faster velocity of that water, increasing sedimentation into the creek. And we're exploring how best to possibly reroute some of those trails or put in simple fixes on some of those trails, like water bars, so that they actually might reduce sedimentation into the creek. Second point is nitrogen. We envision an education plan for a lot of the homeowners associations in the area to reduce nitrogen in from lawns and other contributions to the creek. And with those two, I think that we'll see hopeful, and we'll be able to monitor improvement in the biological health of the creek. And the other issue that we really are interested in is our restoration efforts for the creek. Specifically, I touched on erosion, but also other riparian fixes that can be done to the creek to help restore that creek to its health that we are all aiming for. As I said, we've got a demonstration project that we hope to start in September, in fall sometime, in conjunction with the town. We look forward to invigorating a invasives removal program. There's been a lot of good work on the east side of MLK, on the further downstream part of Bowling Creek, and we look forward to incorporating that same approach and effort here into Carrboro. Finally, we really see our role as a facilitative group within the community. We don't want to be a divisive voice in this in this resource that we all enjoy. In terms of how this restoration and conservation initiative fits with Friends of Bowling Creek, that you know, we still plan on, and we're looking at dates for the festival in the fall, and we see this going in parallel, that we could actually hopefully begin to showcase some of the work that we're doing so that we can actually incorporate this in with education efforts with our schools. The other issue is that we really see ourselves as a force that we can work in tandem with you and leverage our status as a 501c3 to help raise money to offset whatever efforts that we see coming up for restoration efforts. Dry Gulch is one that most likely will need addressing, and we're actually pursuing this very actively, and we are planning on submitting several applications for monies to support these common goals of preserving Bowling Creek. So with that, I thank you very much for your time and the opportunity tonight, and appreciate you all's staff working on their restoration team that they're doing with the town. We really, again, look forward to working and supporting their work and using our unique status to bring additional resources to this resource here in our community. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Tom. Dan.
Thank you, Tom. This is a great report, very, very exciting stuff. I particularly like the idea of taking the energy of a controversy and putting it to positive action, and obviously that's what's happening, and that's great. The only question I have came up at the very end about the festival. I know that's been at Umstead Park for right. the last few years. Any chance we might have that at Wilson Park sometime?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. We had explored that. The one thing that we were trying to figure out, and we can come back to you with an answer, but the one thing that was nice about Umstead is that we actually can have activities in the creek right there. If we had it at Wilson, I mean, you'd have to go through the Adams Tract, and we just what's worked well in the past is having kids in the creek getting muddy and getting their sneakers and sandals wet. So,
yeah. As the parent of one of those kids, I understand that.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Very
good. All right. Thank you, Tom. All right.
There was a resolution if the board wanted.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Move attachment A.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Mr. Manager, item D5.
Okay, this is an update on the Bowen Creek Greenway planning from staff. Jeff, you're up.
There's no specific, there's no PowerPoint for this.
What? You cannot come and speak to us.
Next! Well, there is a PowerPoint that has one slide. You'll find it very informative. This is just a general update with where we are on greenway planning. Trish might have additional information as well, but just to review, the Board of Aldermen directed staff to move forward with phases 1A, 1B, and 2 of the Bowen Creek Greenway and the Morgan Creek Greenway. And right now we're at the point of just about to release the RFQ for design for the Wilson Park multi-use path. We have funding authorization from NCDOT to go ahead with preliminary engineering for that project. That's phase 1A. And for phase 1B, we are in communication with the University of North Carolina, who is the owner of the parcel on which a substantial amount of that portion of the greenway will be located, and also, of course, in communication with the Claremont 2 development process to determine final alignment for that phase.
Could you please review a little bit more detail about phases 1 and 2 that we're moving forward to, like the alignment, the placement, the materials being used?
Sure.
Because that's what we're getting the most questions about, and that's what the most misunderstandings about. So
I'm not getting any questions about those phases.
I'm sorry, yes, but...
Sure. Phase 1A, the Wilson Park multi-use path, was proposed in the Bowen Creek Greenway conceptual plan as a 10-foot wide bicycle and pedestrian path. The cost estimate included asphalt as the pavement for that section, although that's a conceptual plan, so I think that that's probably the most logical surface for that.
That has not yet been definitively decided that it will be asphalt, has it?
That's correct. That'll be decided definitively at the construction design phase.
Right. Okay.
Phase 1B.
And there'll be public input in the construction and design
yes,
phase,
certainly.
Right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
The timeline for that is the RFQ process over the next couple of months, and we're right. looking at fall for a timeline for moving forward with that. I think that it's a little early for me to comment on specific details on surface for phase 1B or phase 2. That those are a little bit farther out, but we're pursuing a municipal agreement with NCDOT for Phase 1B, that we'll be able to have more specifics after that municipal
agreement. But so far there are no specifics on any part of the Greenway when it comes to surface. Is that correct?
There are the recommendations in the two master plans.
Yes.
And then there are the the guidance that is referenced in any NCDOT municipal agreement required.
But what I'm asking is that no decision has been made as to surface for any part of the Greenway.
Yeah, no final decision has been
made. Right.
That's what I was asking.
1A, 1A, 1B, and 2 have, they're going to be hard surface.
Right. But we don't know what that hard surface is at this point.
Can I ask a clarifying
question? No, I was waiting. Jeff, one of the things, and I'm glad Jackie kind of led into this, when you gave the, I guess staff gave the information on the agenda item abstract, the information from the January 12th meeting was omitted. And the January 12th meeting was really important to the update, full update on the Bowling Creek Greenway planning, because it would specify that phases 3 and 4 were removed from the planning. Is there any particular reason why that's not reflected here?
I don't know that specifically. I know that certainly in the December 8th meeting, the board made it clear that there would be further discussion before moving.
But some decisions were made on January 12th that I think are basic to any update. So,
what sort of decisions were made on the 12th?
Well, that phases 3 and 4 were taken off the removed from the planning process at this point. That was one of them. There was
we had some discussion in December about whether any particular alignment was being agreed to for phases 3 and 4, and we decided not to pick an alignment. But I don't.
But we were very specific, and I just think that
we might have to reference the minutes. But that's not, I mean, off the top of my head, it's not my recollection from the 12th.
Randy, is it not the item point 3? We directed that all three options of phase 3 and 4.
No, because actually on the 12th of January, not only were 3 and 4 taken off the table, but Jackie had pointed out that other options that folks might want to come and present also be considered, and that's missing from this as well. Mm-hmm. So, I would like the January 12th minutes to be reviewed, and
for the next update, is that what you're saying? Next time we get
I'm concerned that this update is misleading. I feel it doesn't give a full picture of our position.
So, are you wanting it to come back after the break?
Or can we just get some report from the staff in writing that'll clarify what action the board took on the 12th?
In order to be able to give a full picture. Yes?
I can read the motion. The motion was made by Randy Hayden O'Donnell, seconded by Jacqueline Giss, to refer the Greenways Incorporated report to the Greenways Commission. Period.
That's all that that's all the minutes.
That's on the 8th?
That's on January 12th.
You can review the
following
tape.
Yeah, no, it might not be the it might be the following. I know that in early January we pulled 3 and 4. We were very specific.
I have no recollection of it.
Mark, could he come up if he's going
to speak? Yeah, Bob, could you come up to the podium? Bob Kirshner, who's the, let's see, Bob is the chair of the Greenway Commission at this point.
How are you doing? It is not my recollection that it was pulled from the table altogether. It was just that going to the construction phase was not moving forward on it, that those portions were going to be referred back for further study, and that the additional, the original other alignments are possible pathways that were taken off from the first time were added back on so they could be included in that study. But I think the issue was that the whole thing had to be decided on that night so that it could move those three pieces forward. So it was amended that those two phases were just going to be withheld from moving forward for construction purposes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't have funding anyway, or funding really identified at this point anyway for that part of the project.
Thanks, Bob.
All right.
Can I
have a question?
Well, I want to go back to the surfaces of 1A and 1B. Now, it's my understanding they're going to be hard surfaces. Is that correct?
The way the municipal agreements work is that they generally stipulate in order to get reimbursement for the funding that the town has been authorized, is that ASHTO guidelines, the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials, are followed. And ASHTO guidelines, for numerous reasons, recommend hard all-weather surfaces.
Which are asphalt, concrete. Are there any others?
The two that ASHTO guidelines mention are asphalt and concrete.
Okay. I just kind of wanted people to be clear, because when you talk about hard surfaces, you're thinking, oh, well, what's a hard surface? So I thought it might be helpful, since I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
It's either going to be asphalt or concrete. It's not going to be rock.
For phases 1A and 1B and 2 would have been approved at this point. That's right.
Okay.
Presumably. I mean, there are some alternative materials, but they're very expensive.
Yeah, I just wanted, I'm feeling like I missed something, because I saw or heard a lot of controversy about the alignment and surfaces for phases 3 and 4.
Correct.
But I haven't heard any for 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of referring back to Jackie's question. And, I mean, were there emails that I'm just not recalling or about those? Or
I think that there are many people who aren't looking at this in phases. And that's understandable. They're just looking at, like, the greenway, you know, and aren't dividing it into phases. And we need to help them do that, which is one of the reasons why I asked for this report. And I think people are confused about where we are in the decision-making process in terms of alignment and surfaces with the different phases. And so I wanted this update report to kind of help to clarify things to people.
But I'm correct, am I not, that the concern about surfaces has generally been expressed in terms of surfaces running alongside the creek,
right,
and how that would impact the creek.
Right. Yes.
So, for example, the Wilson Park Trail is really outside that area of concern. And I understand what you're saying, that people aren't making that distinction that I'm making. So.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Joel.
I was going to make a suggestion after we approve whatever resolution that's before us, that maybe that staff could just put...
Is there a resolution approved?
Somewhere.
There it is, yeah.
There always is.
Sorry.
That maybe they put sort of a one-page explanation and have maybe a link of a map that says this is where phase 1A and this is where phase 1B and this is where phase 2 and this is where we are here. And then the other two, no more than a three-sentence paragraph that says, and these other ones are going to be whatever we said we were going to do with them, which is fairly simple, that somebody could just click on the website and see.
And keep it real simple and straightforward. Mm-hmm.
That's why I said only three sentences in the paragraph.
Could I add on, maybe even include...
That's going to be a fourth sentence.
That's
going to
be a fourth sentence.
Just one sentence with a forecast of how far away the money is, because that seems to be one of the biggest reasons why.
It sounds more like a dependent clause to me.
There is no funding identified for phases 3 and 4.
That's a good sentence.
Right. There you go.
That's not too dependent. No.
Right.
All right.
That's just a suggestion.
Okay. I'll take that as a motion for the resolution.
Okay.
Bob seems to urgently believe that he has one more thing to tell us. Make it quick.
Tip off was 30 seconds ago.
I'm sorry.
I'll make it real quick here. This was a little preliminary because the Greenway Commission will be taking up these specific phases at our next meeting next Monday, so maybe we can come back with some more specific recommendations. I know there were some concerns about different types of materials, if it's down in a more of a wet area versus a non-wet area, which is where the...
And this will all go through a public process and people having, even people beyond the commission, having input, right?
Well, and also they could come on Monday if they want to.
To the Greenways Committee
right,
meeting?
Yeah, yeah.
Or June, or not. June 22nd is going to be another
Since Mark
meeting.
Won't be here, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great thing.
Well, and also, also Carolina North is holding their meeting Monday night as well.
About their
for their
Army Corps of Engineers
right,
permit.
The Army Corps of Engineers
okay.
permit.
So, thanks, Bob. All right. It's been moved and seconded for the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, not a passed unanimously.
Thanks.
Mr. Manager.
Item 5 is an update on safe routes to school events, and Jeff's already at the podium. Jeff.
Okay. I do have a PowerPoint for this one.
He worked it up in the last 3 minutes while we were talking.
So the town is fortunate to have not one, not two, but three active Safe Routes to School projects. Before I begin this update, I want to acknowledge Trish McGuire and my predecessor, Adina Messenger, who submitted successful applications for these grants that I'm going to describe. I know it's been a long night so far, so I'll be very brief with this section so we can get into the specific discussion of the Carrboro programs. But it's important to give a sense of the context for how kids are getting to school these days. In the last 40 years, walking and biking to school among children aged 5 to 14 has declined from 48% to 13%. Conversely, the percentage of children being driven to school in a car has more than tripled. For children living within a mile of school, if we look at trips a mile or less, we see that almost 90% of students walked or biked in 1969. Well, today that number is down to 40%. So the decrease in walking and bicycling that we see today cannot be explained only by the fact that students generally live farther away from school now than they did 40 years ago, although that certainly is the case. Walking and biking to school in Carrboro, based on surveys that were conducted in spring of 2009, we see pretty similar numbers as nationally. Walking is around 10 to 11%, and bicycling was around 1 to 2%. These surveys were taken in March, so still when the weather is not quite warm every day, we have been conducting additional surveys this school year, spring 2010, on June 1st and June 2nd. We should have that information in the late summer or fall. We just have to wait for them to get tabulated. So we'll see what the one-year change is like for this year.
And will that include Carrboro High?
That will just include Carrboro and McDougal Elementary. The Safe Routes to School programs are tailored towards elementary and middle school only.
So Carrboro is below the U.S. average?
According to these surveys, now I'll warn that these are snapshots. These were taken over a one-week period. They're supposed to be taken regardless of what the weather is. So we should look at that as a general average and not necessarily hard and fast numbers.
Jeff, I know in future years you're going to be including Morris Grove in some right. of this or anticipated. And it'll be interesting to see. I imagine their numbers will be, much lower just simply because of proximity of neighborhoods to the school. But with that Greenway coming in, being built, it'll be interesting to see how that affects it.
Certainly. And, I think in a perfect world, we would have included Morris Grove and these projects, the action plan, and so forth. The way the grant works out with the action plan, it needs to be, the type of grant that we got needs to be directed to one or two schools. So staff have certainly identified Morris Grove as a beneficiary.
Morris Grove wasn't operating when they applied either, I don't think. But
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Jackie.
Do we have do we have school buses included in these numbers? Because I think it'd be interesting to see. My bet is that we have a whole lot of people driving their kid in their car 1 or 2 miles to drop them off at school and gum up the roads.
Sure. Yeah, the agenda packet does include the other modes besides walking and bicycling. And if I may, I'll just flip to that really quick.
So in this survey, what percentage of the kids arrived on the school bus? In the survey from last March.
I'm sorry, it's not in our agenda packet, but I can get that.
I don't think many kids take the school bus.
Right.
And I think that a lot of it has to do with timing, that every day your kid's going to walk or take the bus or walk, and then at the last minute things just get too hectic, so, oh, never mind, I'll drive you again. I think that's what happens, I think. I mean, it doesn't happen at my house, but...
But what has changed since 1969 that has made that?
Because everybody has to get out of the house.
No.
Segregated the school system.
Then you segregated the school system, and then you have sprawl because they had an encouragement until probably the late this century of people living closer into town again, which was the earlier model. Because people would move further out to suburban schools, alleging that they were better. And probably they were equal at a certain point. But, you know, now not every school, neighborhood school, was kept in neighborhoods. For example, the new school that they are building in Chapel, elementary school they're building in Chapel Hill, was a predominantly black school that was closed during integration. So those children couldn't walk to school anymore. They had to get on a bus.
But I understand that, but I also think that there's something to do with life is more hectic at home. And it's easier to drop the kid off on the way to the office than
More mothers work.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Well, there's just more cars available for driving kids around.
Anyway.
I mean, lots more. All right.
Out of the home, excuse me. Let me say out of the home, because if you're staying at home with your children, you're really working hard. No, it's true. You're really working hard.
Did you have anything further on this?
On this slide?
Move faster through the slides.
Sure. This is just a background on Safe Roads to School. It's a federal program created in 2005, and the state program is administered by NCDOT. We also have the National Center for Safe Roads to School in Chapel Hill, so we have a great resource just down the road. So the three programs, this is the first one, this is the Carborough Action Plan. Formed to guide town decisions on encouraging walking and bicycling to Carborough and McDougall Elementary Schools. To answer your question, Lydia, Morris Grove would certainly be a candidate for a future Safe Roads to School program. We do have a program through another grant, the CMAC grant, that includes Safe Roads to School-like programs for Morris Grove in the 2013-2014 timeframe. Although a local match has not yet been identified for that funding. And on the action plan for Carborough and McDougall schools, we're working with Greenways Incorporated and Green Transportation Solutions on developing the action plan. We held a kickoff meeting last December. The minutes of that are in your agenda packet. And one of the many goals established at that meeting was to increase the percentage of children walking or bicycling to school. 25% locally by 2015. You saw the numbers. We are in about the 10 to 12% range, so we have a lot of work cut out for us.
Is there a nutritional health component in that?
I think certainly. I think that there's been more discussion than ever nationally, and especially in this region, about linking health with how kids get to school.
Right.
We also had a public open house on May 3rd of this year at Carborough Elementary, and basically that was held to allow the public to come by and identify barriers and recommend solutions for encouraging children to walk and bike to school. And I'd like to acknowledge some of the participants: Emily Bivens, principal of Carborough Elementary; Petrina McDowell, assistant principal at McDougall; and the town staff from planning, public works, fire, police, and recreation and parks departments have been actively involved. And there are a number of citizens who are part of the action plan team who have really contributed to shaping the plan. And I'd like to especially point out Noreen McDonald, who's a urban planning professor at UNC, and we talked a little bit about school siting. She's probably one of the national experts on school siting. So it's really good to have these citizens on the action plan team who are also happen to be doing as their job safe routes to school related activities. And then the second project, I'll just go quickly over this because you know it pretty well. Sidewalk on Elm Street on the eastern side. You can see there in the photo that that's a situation that arises sometimes on Elm Street with school travel. And it's a sidewalk bond project. So we just received the notice to proceed on June 1st, and the expected completion date is in 2 years. Then we also finally were really excited to be able to hold two walk and roll events next school year at Carborough Elementary. This is another Safe Routes to School grant. And we're planning to hold one in the fall and one in the spring. These will be school-wide events to encourage walking and bicycling to school. For students who live farther away, we plan to set up park and walk locations so that every student in school can participate in some way in these programs. And if you look at some other case studies of schools who are really models nationally for walking and bicycling to school, you know, they've had these events, and they've had very successful events and have repeated them. So we're really excited to have these two events. So with that, any questions?
So, Jeff, these grants are always geared toward elementary schools, you said?
Elementary, and you know, the grants that we have are geared towards the elementary schools. Middle school is also included in general on Safe Routes to School.
Yeah, I just think that might be something to think about sometime in the future. Right? With elementary school, you get some buy-in because parents work with, you know, walk with kids. They don't let a lot of the kids go by themselves. But in middle school, you have even a greater potential for kids to ride their bikes to school and walk to school. And it's kind of untapped. And it's maybe it's just not everyone does it, but there'd be some way to try to get kids to think about it more. I mean, I know they have big backpacks and everything, but it's just something to think about.
Sure. And the great thing about that's a good point. The great thing about McDougall, including McDougall Elementary, is that the solutions you come up with for McDougall Elementary, of course, most of them are also going to apply to McDougall Middle, too.
You could have a contest to see which schools had the most walkers, and then have some, I hesitate to say it, but ice cream from Mapleview nearby.
Frozen yogurt,
right?
From
Mapleview.
Well, not frozen yogurt.
Put all the weight back on.
Not really. I mean, not at their age.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
You know. Fur and fat.
Yes.
And that's right. Ice cream, but you got to walk to the store to pick it up.
There you go.
It could also be a kind of a competition within the school, providing an award for either students who ride the bus or bike if they're close enough to school.
I think that's a good idea, and there's certainly been incorporated into other programs that we've heard about.
Okay.
Is anybody finding out why they're not riding bikes and walking to school?
I think there's been a number of explanations put forth. Of course, the context matters. If we look at some of the survey data nationally and some of our local data, obviously distance is a reason if they live farther away, but also, if there are walkways and bikeways conveniently accessed, the traffic volume and the traffic speed along the roads that they're walking certainly play a big role.
All those people speeding by to drop their kid off at school.
Yeah, they're a menace.
Thank you.
All right. Is there we have a resolution, right?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? I'm going to pass unanimously. That puts us on agenda item, I think it's D6, which is an appointment to the planning board. Does anybody have an informed opinion about who we should appoint to the planning board?
Go ahead.
So do I. I would like to nominate Richard Jamison. I'd like to hear a dance person, too. And the reason for that is severalfold. He comes from a fairly strong business background and an arts background. And I think that as we're planning, that the arts needs to kind of permeate a lot more of what we're doing in planning and in economic development. We always give it a nod, but I think Richard could be a voice on the board. And he also lives in the historic area and he and his partner have recently renovated a house in the historic area. So he has the sensibility of the arts, of the business background, and of living in the historic area. So that's why I would like.
I'm going to second Jackie's motion. And I'll add, I met Richard first at a People's Channel fundraiser, where I was really impressed with him as a person, just as like someone who was instantly likable. And this morning I called Vimala to ask her what he'd been like as a board member at People's Channel. And she basically raved about him in terms of his ability to work with everyone, to provide leadership, to really be engaged, and to provide some organizational perspective as well. And I think it's fair to say that she probably wishes we wouldn't appoint him and maybe he'd go back to People's Channel for his activism. I also loved what he wrote on his application, that I care deeply about smart, controlled growth that helps to sustain our town's vibrancy while maintaining the unique qualities that are Carborough. I think that kind of encapsulates a lot of what we all think. And in seconding this, I also want to, if any of the other applicants are watching, that, you know, we will have two vacancies on the planning board coming up in February. So there's another opportunity not that far off.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Richard Jamie Field. Is there any further discussion on that? Or all right. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Make it something important. Are there any other matters that board members need to bring up?
I have the tiniest thing, which is when the thing came up about Walgreens this morning, I kind of remembered that rezoning, but I went back to watch the tape, and there was this point where what's her name? Jan? Jan, right, who owns 102 Center. Is that right?
Oh, Jane.
Jane was sitting where Anita was before, and she stood up at her seat and spoke for several minutes, and you couldn't hear a thing she said on the tape. So I guess I'm going to be.
She promised us, let's see.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try and be more vigilant in trying to get people like we did. I did with Bob tonight to come up to the podium.
Yeah.
I encourage us all to do so.
Okay. Duly noted. Thanks. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter of fact, unanimously.